the message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you and to all in your house in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. This September, our Jewish friends will celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the new year of the Jewish calendar. It is the first day of that high and holy season known as the Days of Awe. They are days of repentance and preparation for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Rosh Hashanah falls on the first day of the seventh month, known in the Jewish calendar as Tishrei. Ancient Jewish scholars tell us that God created the world in the first week of the seventh month, and for this reason, the first day of Tishrei is considered the beginning of the year. It is in the third book of Moses, Leviticus 23, and verses 23 to 25 that we read these words, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Scripture also speaks of another new year, or beginning of months. This is the first day of Nisan. While Tishrei occurs in the fall, Nisan comes in the springtime of the year and is a wonderful celebration of God's deliverance from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. It is in Exodus 12 and verses 1 and 2 that we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." On the solemn day of Rosh Hashanah, the ram's horn or shofar is blown as a call to repentance and as a precious reminder of the occasion when Abraham, under the command of God, journeyed to Mount Moriah to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. For Abraham, this was a supreme test of his faith in God. Abraham obeyed. At the very moment when he was about to plunge the knife into Isaac's heart, the angel of the Lord stepped in and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." It was then that Abraham observed a ram caught in the thick bushes. Here was God's provision of a substitute for Isaac. The blowing of the shofar is today a reminder of Abraham's willingness to give his only son, a son given through Sarah and given wholly to God. His obedience was practical evidence of his unshakable faith in God, and this was counted to him for righteousness. In the Brit Kashadah, or the New Covenant of Holy Scripture, we have evidence of God's provision of another substitutionary sacrifice. For we read in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." While the story of God's provision of a ram as a substitute for Abraham's son Isaac is most meaningful and precious, the account of God's provision of his son as a sacrifice for our sins is even greater in significance. In Abraham's case, the ram took the place of an only son. But the New Covenant scriptures reveal that God provided His Son to take the place of many sinners. The substitutionary nature of Messiah's death was foretold by the great prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, we read, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Rosh Hashanah is a solemn time, a time of repentance and preparation for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which follows in 10 days. These are solemn days of personal introspection and humble petition for forgiveness. The great rabbi Maimonides, commenting on the significance of these days, wrote, "The scriptural injunction of the shofar for the New Year's Day has profound meaning. It says, 'Awake, ye sleepers, and ponder over your deeds. Remember your Creator and go back to Him in repentance. Be not of those who miss realities in their pursuit of shadows, and waste their years in seeking after vain things, which cannot profit or deliver. Look well to your souls, and consider your acts. Forsake each of you his evil ways and thoughts, and return to God, so that He may have mercy." Jewish tradition would have us believe that during the new year, the Lord opens three books, books in which are inscribed the names of all men. In one, the names of all the righteous are written. In another, there is the record of all those who are not entirely righteous, but who are also not entirely wicked. The third volume contains the names of the wicked and unrepentant. It is believed by some that on New Year's Day, the books are opened and the righteous people are rewarded with good health and long life, along with prosperity and security from harm and tragedy. Through repentance and renewal, God grants to those in the other books the opportunity for sinners to rectify their deficit standing with God. It is impossible for Jewish people to begin their new year without confronting the issue of personal sin. The taking of a personal spiritual inventory is one of the basic principles of the Hebrew Scriptures. The great prophet Isaiah heralds forth the call of God to Jews and Gentiles everywhere. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That first chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah is exceedingly graphic in the way it describes the spiritual condition of sinful men. "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." The remedy for this spiritual unsoundness is not to be found in religious practices, no matter how sincerely they may be practiced, for God says, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. What then is the answer? Forgiveness, cleansing, and spiritual healing are to be found alone in the person of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Of him, the prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The forgiveness, pardon, and spiritual healing foretold by the prophet is bestowed upon that person who turns in repentance and faith to Jesus the Messiah. If you have any questions about this important step, I urge you to write us here at Message to Israel in Brooklyn, New York. Shalom, and may God grant you his eternal peace. And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.